Well, hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and Jerry Usher will be back on Monday. And so I'm expecting you to call in because I have a really cool topic to talk about today. And I want you to weigh in on it and give me your takes and the whole world your experience of this. And here's the question. What can a pilgrimage or retreat do for your spiritual life? What can a pilgrimage or retreat do for your spiritual life? Now, maybe you just got off of a retreat or a pilgrimage and you can tell us what it was like. Maybe it was super, you know, enlightening. Maybe it was very expensive. You want to talk about how much it costs, because I know international travel is a lot these days. So we want to hear, how about domestic pilgrimages or retreats, you know, staying within driving distance and really going deep in your faith with a group of people where you can just spend the whole weekend and you come off of that weekend with the retreat high. And that is just so wonderful. See, there's a retreat and a pilgrimage high that that people experience, that euphoric feeling after a retreat or a deep encounter with our Lord. And there's a reason for that. And that's what we want to get to with why we think that making a pilgrimage or a retreat is very beneficial on a regular basis for your spiritual life. So if you have something to say about this, if you have some ideas, if you've just been on a pilgrimage, if you want to go on a retreat, if you're praying about it, let's talk about it. Do I call myself a retreat master? Well, I will tell you that for about 4 or 5 years, I was a retreat master. So I did organize major retreats for parishes. And I will tell you, I can share with you some of the things that came out of those retreats. They're pretty surprising. A lot of vocations came out of those retreats. So I'd really like to share that with you, but I need to hear from you. Now, here's the deal. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. I really need you to dial this number, 833-288-3986. I expect full phone lines. Why? Because I really want to go around the dial there and pick up all the different phone calls and also the comments coming in on social media that Michael McCall is monitoring. I really would like to have a really vibrant discussion so we can cover it from all angles. That's what Take Two is all about. We cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, and what do I mean by the ugly? Like maybe you had a really bad experience on a retreat or something, or it was something came out of it that you were like, wow, this is really dark. I don't like this. Let's talk about it. You know, sometimes unfortunate things do happen on all trips, actually. So Let's really explore this and see if we can walk away with a better understanding, a new outlook, a new attitude, growing closer to God. You know how it works. It's Take Two. So come on. I need your help. Phone lines are just starting to light up. Thank you. 833-288-3986. Matt Gabinski's waiting to answer your call. Like I said, you do not have to be Catholic to call in, because if you're listening, you hear the sound of my voice, we consider you part of the family. So what that means is we expect you to call in because you are the teachers, you are the catechists for each broadcast, okay? So you bring your lived experience, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding to every single discussion. That's why we've been going strong for, wow, almost 9 years. Is that amazing, you guys? That's the Take Two family, like all the lunch bunch. You guys are always have your lunch with us and you always send us pictures and emails and, you know, telling us what you're eating for lunch. That's so sweet. But anyway, I really want to hear from you. You can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. You can also text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment, and message and data rates may apply. So just keep that in mind when you're doing texting. But that's a cool feature. And also you could go on social media. I'm waving to you guys. Hi, everyone. You guys are so sweet over there on YouTube and Facebook. And leave your comments for Michael McCall. He'll retrieve them. But if you fill up those last phone lines, we can have a really cool discussion at 833-288-3986. Okay, what's coming up? So I said Jerry will be back on Monday. We have a new content pre-recorded broadcast tomorrow on surrendering to God. And Father Alex Kreidler is going to be with us, and he is phenomenal. He is such a neat priest, amazing. And wait till you hear how he describes Surrendering to God. Father Alex Kreidler is tomorrow. And then we'll be back on Monday. But I'm leaving with Adam Bly. Adam's coming from Pittsburgh and I'm coming from Arizona. We are flying into Dallas, Texas tomorrow for a really cool The Spirit World Live, a special exclusive live on location broadcast for Guadalupe Radio Network. We have over 350 folks coming so far, and there's still room that we can take like 500-600 people at the Terry Center College Prep School in Dallas. So if you're interested in coming and being part of this live broadcast, Adam is going to be traveling with a very rare combination relic that's an added bonus for all of us to touch our items to, which is really cool. It's all it's the apostles all together with Saint Joachim and Saint Anne and a part of the Blessed Mother's, I think a veil, part of the cloak of Saint Joseph. It's really cool. The coolest combination relic. But anyway, that's part of the feature. But the really neat event is the exclusive on location broadcast of the Spirit World, and that's on Saturday, April 20th. So if you're interested, there's still room for you. We'd love for you to drive in, fly in. We'd love to meet you. We're going to spend a lot of time together. It's at grnonline.com/TSW live. Okay. And I can promise you it'll be a really, really great event. So that's this weekend on Saturday. Also, the Spirit World, we have a new content mailbag show this Saturday, and a lot of questions will be answered. And believe it or not, a lot of the questions came in from Take Two members. Take Two folks also follow the Spirit World. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it. And you're sending in questions, and we're trying to go through the mailbag answering everybody's questions about relics, sacramentals, Reiki, yoga, Freemasonry. It goes on everything that's happening in everybody's life. And we try to answer all those this weekend. So that's all the housekeeping that I have. Charles Beery is at the controls. He's our producer. I really need you to call in and join Gina and the others on the phones waiting to talk about pilgrimage or retreats that they have been on that can really enhance our spiritual lives. Please call in 833-288-3986. And I'll be right back. I'm going right to the phones. Pilgrimages, those deep spiritual encounters that you may have visiting a shrine or a monastery or something of that nature. I really want to hear what the outcome was and how you had some spiritual growth. That's what we're talking about today. So the phone number to dial in, if you've just been on a retreat or you're praying about going on a pilgrimage, the number to dial is 833-288-3986. I can promise you we're a very friendly, safe platform. It is a worldwide platform, so you don't know how many souls you're reaching, but I can tell you that we get the emails each and every day with people saying, wow, I really love that topic. I learned so much from that caller. So please don't sit this out. Don't think somebody else is going to step up for you. If you feel that little tug in your spirit, we believe it's the Holy Spirit. So please call in. Matt Kabinsky's waiting to answer the call at 833-288-3986. I'm going to get to Gina in San Antonio, Texas in just a second. Gina, hang on. I just have to share this with our Take Two family. Get the Pro-Life Weekly email. Stay informed and educated with the latest news and truth on abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the culture of death. We can send EWTN's Pro-Life Weekly directly to your email inbox each week. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. Okay? We do have some open phone lines. Please tell us about a pilgrim. Maybe you're a person that actually is part of a group. You get together once or twice a year and you pick a place you want to go to. You research it. You get the right tour group and you all travel together. I'd love to hear your experience. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. Retreats are big across all faith beliefs. So please make that call. And don't sit this out any longer because this hour goes by way, way too quickly. 833-288-3986. And I am getting messages coming in saying, are there still seats available in the Dallas event? Yes, There are seats available at the Dallas event this Saturday. Just go to grnonline.com/TSW live. You'll find all the information there. Okay, Gina's been waiting so patiently in San Antonio, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Gina. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you. Good to talk to you again. Hey, listen, we've been blessed to go on a couple of pilgrimages to Italy and to Spain, France, and Portugal, and to the Holy Land. And I can tell you, all of those pilgrimages gave us a deeper prayer life. To see the gospel, especially in the Holy Land, is amazing. So when we're in church or when I'm praying my rosary, oh my gosh, I can go back to those places in my mind. Mm-hmm. We've actually done many retreats with our archdiocese here in San Antonio, and I'm taking some retreats to Georgia and to New York. And the conversions I see, the people that are coming back or coming into the faith or convalidating their marriage, it's just so, I can't even describe it. It's such a great feeling to see people turning their hearts back to the Lord, especially in our faith. Mm-hmm. But we've also done a local pilgrimage or a United States pilgrimage there in New Mexico. It was just my husband and I, and we're celebrating an anniversary. And we went to Santa Fe, and we went to the Loreto, the chapel at Loreto, where the staircase is. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with that one?
Yes, I am.
And I was sitting there. I just lit my candles. I'm a Catholic pyromaniac, so I love to light candles. But I'm praying my rosary. I know, right? Mm-hmm. I'm praying my rosary, and there was a bunch of people in there. But that for that moment in time, I didn't hear anybody else. I was like, I'm going to use the word transcended, but I can't. I finished my rosary, and then I heard the noise again. And it was like such a moving experience for me. It was, I think I'm at a loss for words, but you don't have to go across the pond to get a pilgrimage. There's so many places here in the States.
Yeah.
I mean, we've even been able to travel to Alabama to go visit the chapel and be, we were on a show with Father Mitch. I love Father Mitch.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's come to Texas, and we've bought him boots and stuff like that, you know, for the different things that he's come to help us with. But I just know that retreats are, and we need to take time like that with the Lord. And, I mean, pilgrimages aren't us crawling on our knees and praying the rosary every day. It's a good balance of spirituality and of fun and of meeting other people. That, you know, iron sharpens iron. And we just got off a marriage cruise, a Catholic marriage cruise. I mean, we're blessed. I'm not bragging, but we're blessed. And what an amazing way for us to regroup. And I'm not a boat person, but I did really well. And we had such great speakers there, Al Cresta and Father Mike Schmitz and Teresa Tomeo, you know, some of the you know, Catholic apologists that we listen to.
Sure.
We're just blessed.
So, no, I agree. And we are blessed to have those opportunities to go on an international pilgrimage or retreat, or even just drive to a place that has a deep, rich, sacred understanding. I couldn't agree with you more, Gina. And I love how you said the conversions happen and people, you know, are forever changed. You know, Gina, there's a reason why that there's a retreat high and a pilgrimage high after an experience like that. There's a reason, because people are elevated. They are transformed. They are changed from the inside out. It's unfortunate, though, because they kind of smack right back into the world, and it hits them hard, and it kind of drops them. That's why when I used to work at the parish level, people would say, I wish I could live on retreat the rest of my life. Well, of course, because it has that it's a little slice of heaven. Right. But, What you said was so powerful, and especially about going to these places like the Holy Land. Jerry and I talk about it all the time. We were there on pilgrimage for Vocation Boom in 2016. And after we went, you know, to the Sea of Galilee and Magdala and all these places, right, that we've been reading about since we were little kids, if you're a cradle Catholic, right? And now when those scripture passages are read, I can close my eyes and be right there on the Sea of Galilee. It's so alive. The messages from the Bible become alive and incredibly vivid in my mind. And Gina, you can relate to that, right?
Isn't that cool?
Know,
it's very cool. And when you talk about coming out of the retreat or even a pilgrimage, you're coming down the mountain like when Jesus came down with Peter, James, and John, right? Mm-hmm. And he told them, but we still have to come down the mountain. And I think if people, well, we try and practice this more in our communities after retreats, is to get people involved, is to get them to, you know, offer to usher at Mass or teach CCD or coach in CYO or be part of, you know, couple marriage retreats. In fact, we're going on one this weekend. I tell my husband, I think, you know, it's remedial training for us. And we do marriage prep. And we tell people we're a bad example. One mother told us, no, we're just reality. And I believe that. But when we're teaching our couples premarital things, we learn too. It's a reminder for us. So people, you just need to be involved and not let it go stale, because the enemy will try and keep you from doing good things. Especially, you know, something to do with your faith. But
right.
I've seen whole families come in after retreats, and you know, we emphasize that. Yeah, we need.
But Gina, you said something again. You said many things, but a few things you're saying are just jumping out for me. You know, Gina, it's interesting. I've worked in the parishes for 25 years, way back when, 25 years straight. And I will tell you, and I love how people feel the need to go to Mass, which we should, right? We're supposed to go to Mass every single weekend, at least. But it's almost like they're checking a box. They check a box. Okay, I went to Mass. Okay, now everybody back in the car. Let's go shopping. Let's go out. It saddened me, because the families that would stick around the church and actually walk the grounds and maybe pray the Stations of the Cross, or we had a Mary garden, and they would go together and pray the rosary or something afterwards, they had an additional rich experience coming out from Mass. And you could see the difference. Those that really took the time to work on their spiritual lives. And I think that's what you're saying. And I like how you said it, like, don't let it go stale or get stuck or go into neutral, or because you're going backwards with God. Okay. Cause God's a God of movement. We're moving towards God. Right, Gina? So I would encourage folks, maybe I think you'll agree with me, to just go just 10 minutes longer after Mass, do something after Mass, listen to a couple of religious songs or something to keep you going. What do you say to that, Gina?
I agree. You know, Jesus was full of action words, verbs, right? We tell people, he said, go, do, see, take. I mean, think of all those verbs. From our head to our heart, sometimes we get stuck. And I sometimes get a little down on not seeing a lot of participation. Like, we did have a marriage ministry years ago, and it was like, I don't need that. You know, my husband and I are okay. We were trying to teach people about date nights and communication, and it was a lot of fun. And we offered daycare, and we offered dinner with wine. And it's like, why weren't they coming? Or why people aren't coming to Eucharistic adoration? And it saddens me. And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I pray a lot about this. But I wish that more people would do, you know, and I pray for that.
Yeah. I do too, because I think we'd have a better world. I think we'd have a better faith. I think we'd have a richer faith. I think we'd stick together more as the body of Christ. Oh, Gina, I could talk to you forever. You're amazing. Great way to, for us to get started on this conversation. Thank you so very much for picking up the phone and making that call. You are incredible. I'm going to let you go on that. So if you can free that phone line, then somebody could pick it up. There you go. Gina just freed it. See how great she did it. Now you need to pick it up and tell us about a pilgrimage or retreat experience. I need to know the details. Christy's going to share some things about a pilgrimage being cut short. I can't wait to hear about that. And then we're going to go to Aiden in just a second, but I'm going to give the number out for you to call in and share about how you feel about pilgrimages or retreats. Maybe you think they're too expensive. Maybe you think it takes too much time. Maybe you can't figure out a way to carve out a whole weekend to spend that time with God and with other people who want to go deeper with God. Maybe you're just like, you know, what's the big deal? I can do it at home. You can do virtual pilgrimages and retreats at home. Absolutely. I am a firm believer that you can do it at home. As a matter of fact, EWTN has some great programs on EWTN television that I have created in my own mind a pilgrimage. Sometimes they go, you know, to various places to pray the rosary, and they'll go to Lourdes and Fatima, and they'll go to, you know, the Holy Land, Italy. And I feel like I'm transported right there. You can do that too, if you want to just do it virtually from your home. But let's talk about it, please. It's very important. If we don't have conversations like this, when are you going to have these kinds of conversations? If you're having them at work, that's great. Most of us aren't, okay? We're not having those kinds of conversations. Right now, everybody's talking about things that are going on in the world, and it's not really very, pleasing and you know, peaceful. It's really quite disturbing what's going on in the world. So let's talk about God right now. Fill up those last open phone lines at 833-288-3986. Okay, Aiden, you're up next. Thank you so much for waiting. That was funny. Aiden from Monroe, Michigan, on Annunciation Radio. Aiden, it would help if I could talk today. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Debbie. It's great to hear from you again.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. So, yes, pilgrimages, retreats. I am all for retreats. I mean, especially just taking time, carving out time on weekends. Just even I've gone for 10 years. 10 years I've gone to a Passionist Retreat Center in the Detroit area, which has done wonders for me. Each time is different. It's a new experience each time with a different theme. Mm-hmm. But this past year, it really strengthened me a lot more. It just kind of really set off a different, like, you know, different sense in me, just on how I should be treating my faith more seriously and deepening that relationship with Christ in a more meaningful way that allows me to, you know, connect more spiritually, more internally, and be able to know when Christ is, you know, when I hear that call from him and when he's asking me to do something. It's, mm-hmm. it's important to have those times of silence in order to hear him in the midst of, you know, our busy lives. And it's something that we don't always do mm-hmm. or try to find enough time to carve out for, but it's something really important that more people need to really know about and
sure.
need to be like they're missing out on a lot mm-hmm. when they don't carve out that time for silence.
Right. Well, wait, I have a couple questions to ask you because you said it twice about silence. So a couple questions, and we're going to hit the pause button in a moment, Aiden. I'm hoping you can hold through the break because I have a couple questions about the Passionist Retreat Center. You talked about silence. I want to know if it's a silent retreat or you could opt out of having it be a silent retreat. Wanted to know possibly if we know what the cost associated with these kinds of weekend retreats. You don't have to give us exact amounts, but just an idea. And then also, I wanted to ask you some questions about when you have gone on a second or third retreat, because they usually say once you hit the second or third retreat, you're going into some really deep, wonderful places in your soul. So let's talk about that. Aiden, if you can hold on. Christy, definitely hold on from Arizona. I want to hear how that pilgrimage was cut short. And the others are calling in right now, 833-288-3986. 3986. I'll be right back. We're speaking with Aiden in Monroe, Michigan, about his retreat experience at the Passionist Retreat Center. And Aiden, thanks so much for holding through the break. I wanted to ask you a couple questions. Now, that Passionist Retreat Center, is that the same order as Father Cedric Pazania's order? Are they associated? Do you know, Aiden? Father Cedric?
I believe it is. It's the St. Paul of the Cross Retreat Center in the Detroit area. So
okay.
It might be the same order.
Right, right. He's a dear friend of Take Two and also of the spirit world. And Father Cedric's always saying, if you're in the Houston area, come to the Passionist Retreat Center. And so it sounds like it's just wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about the weekend? And is it expensive? Is it a completely silent retreat? Give us a little bit of the inside scoop.
So, yes, the retreats are silent. They do really encourage silence throughout the whole weekend until from Friday evening until Sunday morning after Mass. And so it's not that expensive. Usually they ask around 200 or so,
mm-hmm.
But it's not really required for you to have to pay. They mm-hmm. already do have lots of benefactors and sponsors who do already support them, but they do and do really like encourage and hope that you do donate and contribute so that they can keep those retreats running on a year-round basis.
Okay, so when you say complete silence, so there's never ever a time you speak. I mean, can you bring your phone in? I'm trying to get all the practical details.
They do have like options sometimes, like in the evenings, if you want, there is like options for people to go into like the lounge area by the dining hall area, to speak. Not everybody usually does that, but a good handful like to do it, because that's not easy to go a whole 48 hours without talking. But
okay. Gotcha. And what did you learn from this experience of being in a silent retreat? Give us the first time and maybe the second and third time. What was your takeaway, the major takeaway?
The major takeaway was just observing, really, really observing others and just observing yourself internally through that silence, and how much you can learn from others through that silence. Like, it doesn't have to be through conversation, but just through body language and through just their gestures, and can tell you a lot about a person and how they treat their relationship with the Lord. And mm-hmm. it's a beautiful thing just to even just be in the midst of other men.
Sure.
or women, if it's an all men or all women retreat.
Sure.
Or even couples retreat. Yeah.
I was just going to say, that's a good question. Do they have a co-ed retreats, or is it just all men, all women?
They do have co-eds. They do have, they do high school retreats as well. I've heard, they've talked about it. And
okay.
Younger groups do get to go on retreats. So it's a beautiful thing. But when it's, mm-hmm. All men or all women, it's a very enriching experience just to be there in the midst of all of them, and feeding off of each other's relationships with the Lord, and learning how each person takes their own experience away from it.
Sure. Well, one more question, Aiden, because you're a wealth of information on this. This is powerful. Our producer, Charles Berry, asked on the off air, he said, I wonder how many younger folks, you said if it's a high school, that's organized probably by the parish. But what was the youngest age at this silent retreat? Are there 20-year-olds there?
Oh, yes, there is 20-year-olds there. I'm 21 myself. But
right, right.
So most of the times, I was the youngest one there on most occasions. But there has been times where there has been some 18-year-olds are, you know, still, like, you know, going through high school that had been there before. And it's really encouraging to see them there with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were younger, Aiden. That's what I said to Charles, but I didn't want to disclose your age, because you sound a lot older than you are. You've got what I think what they call an old soul. You know how they say that? You've got tons of wisdom beyond your years. It's so obvious. And I just love talking to you. But that's amazing. I thank you for sharing with all of us. I think having these real life experiences, and you've been through these retreat centers, and that's important for the rest of us. Because I think sometimes when we sign up, we're like, what are we going to expect? You know, what do we have to do? Are they going to have trust falls? Are they going to have ropes courses? You know, what's going on in this thing? And so this is really good. So basically, to really get serious and go deep with your relationship with God and with yourself. I love that. Aiden, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Call us again, please. That was a wonderful contribution to this discussion today on retreats and pilgrimages. Okay, Aiden just freed a phone line there, 833-288-3986. See, Aiden's 21 years old, going to retreats. Come on, you guys, we got to step up and add to this discussion. So if you've been through pilgrimages and retreats, now is the time to call in, 833-288-3986. And remember, you do not have to be Catholic to call in. You're welcome, because you're part of the family. Christy is getting our virtual patience award, and I'm sending it, right here in Arizona on the EWTN.com. Hi, Christy. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so tell us, on the comment section, it says your pilgrimage was cut short. What happened?
Well, let me preface that by saying I have done, I think, three now of pilgrimages. And the first one was to the Holy Land, which was absolutely phenomenal. And I was like, I got to go back. And then I had another one to Spain and Italy and... I'm trying to remember what the other one was. Oh, to Poland and Czechoslovakia. So anyway, had done a number of pilgrimages and absolutely loved every single one of them. I would have been willing to uproot and live wherever I was at. So the last pilgrimage I took was in October of last year, and we got everything set up. We departed Phoenix. I think we had a nonstop flight, and as we were coming into the Holy Land, all of a sudden, the people that are flying next to me are crying and upset and this and that, and it's like, what the heck? And of course, they're speaking Hebrew, so it's like, I don't understand anything that's going on. It landed, and we find out that Israel is now at war because of the Hamas attack. And I believe our plane was the last flight that they allowed to land in Tel Aviv that day, or at that point, and stuff. So, things were kind of chaotic from the start as far as we, got unloaded and everybody got, together and stuff. We had our bus that was waiting for us and got everything coordinated. Everybody got on and we started heading north. So we were kind of heading away from where the action would have been. And, got into Nazareth that night and basically just had a meal and went to bed. Got up the following morning and we did basically a day of pilgrimage type activity and stuff. Saw some of they had just excavated an area where they believed the prison for St. Paul was at and stuff. So they didn't have it opened up yet. And stuff, you could peer down into where the areas were at and everything, but where they were working on getting things set up so that people could actually walk down. But then that evening, we had to have a big meeting because the pilgrimage company had contacted us and they said, we can, you have an option. You need to discuss what you want to do. And basically, they were saying that if we were to leave within the next 24 to 48 hours, they could guarantee that we would, there was a 95% chance we would be able to get out without any problems. They said, if we delayed for a few days, longer than that, our percentage of getting out was going to drop to about 5%. So after a fair amount of discussion and stuff, we ended up deciding, yeah, we would go. And so the following morning or the following day, yeah, we did a few other quick trips as far as I think we were on the Sea of Galilee and we had a mass out there. And basically then we kind of split up because some of, well, we all, I think, ended up going to Jordan and stuff. And then from Jordan, we kind of dispersed as far as there were people that were going, you know, different routes to get back to the United States. So, yeah, the 11-day pilgrimage we were supposed to have got whittled down to about 2 days.
Wow. Christy, I have to ask you a question. This is the way my mind works. I mean, like, what happens to, were you reimbursed? Do you get like a credit for another pilgrimage? I mean, can you share any of that?
Yeah, I had purchased insurance as far as to, you know, and any reason why type of insurance and stuff. So when I got back, I was able to get my paperwork filled out. And I think it didn't quite cover everything because we still had a flight that they had to cover and,
wow,
and you know, a couple meals and stuff. So, but yeah, it was like, I got the majority of my money back and stuff. So I'm going to Lourdes, or I'm going to, to France.
Nice.
In September. Yeah. And stuff. Yeah. So it has not turned me off of the idea of doing pilgrimages.
Sure.
And I just really, well, I mean, this might be the good Lord working, mm-hmm, you know, in my life and stuff, because I have a son-in-law who is, he loves history, not too keen on the religion. And I swore, I said, it was like, if I ever get a chance, I will drag my daughter and my son-in-law and my youngest grandson and stuff, and I'll take them all with me,
yeah,
back to the Holy Land.
Good. Good for, I good
know
for
my,
you.
My son-in-law would be enthralled with, yeah, all of the history that is there. So,
mm-hmm,
but yeah.
Wow, that is so cool. Okay, so Christy, you'll have to check in with us every once in a while and let us know where you're traveling and stuff, because a lot of us, we're kind of staying home still for various reasons, maybe some health reasons, stuff like that. So maybe you could give us, we can live vicariously through you, Christy, okay? So let us know when you go to Lourdes and maybe how that was and the details of it. We'd appreciate it, okay?
Definitely. The big killer, you know, kicker, I should say, for me was the fact that when I heard about this pilgrimage, I will be seeing 5 incorruptible saints.
Wow.
So I am ecstatic.
You mean when you go on this Lord's one, you're going to see 5 incorruptibles?
We will be traveling all over France, and yeah, we will be seeing 5 different saints.
Okay, you definitely need to report back. Okay, that's a big deal for me, because I don't know if you have the book, Joan Carol Cruz's book, The Incorruptibles, but I would highly recommend to get it ahead of time. You will definitely appreciate it.
I've got it. I've had it for a number of years.
There you go. There you go.
I love
very, very cool. Oh. And then Matt's just asking, is one of them St. Bernadette? Are you going to see St. Bernadette?
Yeah.
You are? Okay, so Matt Gabinski wants to know. See, we all want to know the details, Christy. Bring pictures, bring details, everything you got, okay?
I will give you guys a call back and give you an update.
Okay, sounds great. Safe traveling. God bless you. Thanks for weighing in on this discussion. Great contribution as well, in addition to Aiden. So that was great, Christy. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move to Rita. Rita's in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Rita is, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. Oh, not until the fall. I have to go there. I get to go there for a speaking engagement in Las Vegas. I love visiting Las Vegas because in Las Vegas, Rita, you guys have a very strong Catholic population. I don't know if you realize it, but very strong, Rita, in Las Vegas. Sirius XM 130 is the way you're listening. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so blessed beyond words. I've been here since 1981, so yes, I know how blessed we are here in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to your caller about her cancellation from the trip to the Holy Land. I was in the Holy Land. I had taken my trip to Egypt first. Then we got to the Holy Land on Friday, the day before they decided to go to war. So we were actually in the Garden of Gethsemane when the air raids went off.
Oh.
And we saw the bombs, the missiles in the air and stuff. And so it was really just a different pilgrimage for me, because I have traveled all over the world, different pilgrimage sites, and this one has left something in my heart that I have to go back. I have to go back because I'm going to become an equestrian order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem in October. So I have to go back for my scallop, the pilgrimage scallop. And so I've been just watching I-24 and glued to the television as to the situation in Israel and stuff. But our journey, we continued on our journey for a couple days. And like the other caller, we had a meeting to try to make some decisions if we were going to stay on our pilgrimage or were we going to continue on, even though it was war. Mm-hmm. And so we decided we were going to stay a couple days. And once we got to Golan, our hotel in Golan, we had another meeting, and we decided that we needed to probably leave because the hotel was empty already. Mm-hmm. And other people had made the decisions that they were leaving. And so we decided to take one last pilgrimage site. And so we decided we would go to Cana that morning.
Wow.
And we renewed our vows and stuff. And our priest was amazing. Mm. And so we headed for the border of Jordan. The difference is that we became immigrants because we couldn't take our priest with us.
Mm.
His visa was out of Africa, and he wasn't able to cross the border with us in Jordan. So we became immigrants. We had no destination. We were at the border, and we had to sit out in the sun, and we were so blessed. The people were so courteous. They brought us water and stuff, and we're just sitting waiting for the travel agent to make a connection with their company in Jordan and to get us another tour guide and to get us into another hotel. And so while we're there praying and praying and praying, I'm very quiet. So I go into a silent prayer. I'm thanking God that we made it out of there. But like now after being in the heat and being immigrants, it was, could you please just give us a nice place to rest? You know, food in our stomach and a place
right.
to rest. And so when we got our bus guide, he told us he wasn't staying with us, that he was just bringing us the bus and that he would be taking us to a hotel and we would get another tour guide. And so we winded up being at one of the best hotels that God could provide for us. It was like a total amazement. We were at the W, and the W is like where the prince and the princess stay. And it was,
sure.
it was like beyond what you could ever have imagined. I mean, we go on pilgrimage in simplicity and humility, and here God puts us in this place after we experience what we did in Israel.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, it's amazing how God listens to our hearts and then he gives us so much more. But my journey, I've done many retreats. I've done many pilgrimages. I want to stay close to God as possible. So I do a lot of reading spiritual books and stuff. I'm blessed to have been a catechist for the last 37 years here in Las Vegas. So I just completed a real nice Lenten retreat with an incredible priest from Africa. And so we're truly blessed here in Las Vegas.
Yeah. No, Rita, I agree. And so I just put you in the prayer book because you, when it becomes safe, you need to get back there so you can finish your journey, your spiritual path. That's my understanding. So will you keep us posted when everything is safe and you're off on that retreat? And then when you come back, give us the details. Will you do that for us? I put you in the prayer book.
Yes, because it's going to happen within the next year or so. We've already signed up for March 2025.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We want to hear that. And I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, we are blessed. We're blessed to be able to travel like this and to go to these places. And then, and like you shared, how God is so magnificent. He provides more than because our hearts are in the right place and we're there for the right reasons. And then God provides, and he does it in such a beautiful, brilliant, magnificent way. Rita, thank you so much. I agree. Hopefully maybe who knows, I'll keep you posted when I'm in Las Vegas, and maybe you can come to the event. That would be fabulous. I'd love to meet you. Thank you, Rita, so very much. I'm going to just quickly share this with our Take Two family members. Join us for Open Line Thursday, which is this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern with Father Brian Milady. Father Milady answers your questions on Open Line. So make sure you check it out, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on EWTN Radio. Okay, so don't forget that. And then let me go back to the phones. Thank you again, Rita, from Las Vegas. I'm going to go to Kelly now in Augusta, Georgia. And Kelly's listening on St. Paul Radio. Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to call in to encourage all people, but especially women, especially moms, to take time to go on retreat. It's so important to have time to get away and mm-hmm. to spend time with God, to just be able to listen and to rest in him. We get those early days of motherhood are very busy. And our days are an endless cycle of diapers and feedings and trying to get our children to mass. And sometimes their presence can be disruptive in our own prayer life, in a sense that it's a new way to pray. And it takes time to learn mm-hmm. that new way to pray.
Sure.
And so silent retreats and sometimes guided with a theme or sometimes just private retreats at different places in the country have been very fruitful in my own life. And I think that I wish that it was mandatory that all women had access to that mm-hmm. within that first year or two of becoming a new mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Kelly, let me share something with you, because you did it so beautifully and so eloquently. And I'm just going, because you know, if you've listened to Take Two, you know me. I kind of just, I have no filter. I kind of blurted out there. Okay. I was a stay-at-home mom. I raised two kids, two boys. And it's difficult. It's like nine jobs in one. Yeah. You feel like you never have a moment to yourself. That's why a lot of women, you know, they treasure the time that they have a few minutes washing dishes or going to the restroom or something of that nature, where you can just get a little quiet time. It's just the truth of the day-to-day stuff that we do as stay-at-home moms and dads. I mean, there's stay-at-home dads too. You're spot on, Kelly. I couldn't agree more. And I always used to share with other moms. I was in a moms group, and we would have these what we call stolen moments. And what that was is if it was 4 o'clock in the morning from 4 to 4:15, if it was, you know, I don't know, 7 o'clock at night from 7 to 7:15, we would have these stolen moments where we would take time with the Lord, whether we had Christian music playing in the background and singing Christian music, praying the rosary, putting it on tape at that back in the day, we had things on tape and on, you know, we had CD. Now it's all on the phone, on apps. But Kelly, I couldn't agree with you more. And I do think that parishes, and this goes in line with what Christine, I think, is going to say from Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know if I can get to Christine, but Christine was saying, you know, that there should be 1 and 2 day retreats for young families. Same thing you're saying, Kelly. I couldn't agree more. We need that kind of support for families. And it's not fair that that's like one of the first budget cuts that happens at some of these parishes, that they say, okay, well, that's not necessary. We only get like 10 families that show up. Well, guess what? Those are 10 families that need to be supported to keep going. I so much agree with you, Kelly and Christine, who's right behind you, who's going to be sharing a similar kind of comment. And I think that that's why maybe if there are a lot of pastors listening to this show right now, Kelly. Kelly. So, and some bishops are listening, I know. So maybe you can put it into the diocese and build it in. So give people a chance to take a 3-hour mini retreat, a 2-hour, a 1-hour, right, Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important. I couldn't agree with you. You did it so beautifully. I think you had such a polished delivery on it. For me, it's just, you know, I think we need to support people and really understand what they are going through on a day-to-day basis. It's hard to raise a family and stay at home. It's not an easy situation. Don't think just because you're staying at home, oh boy, that's super easy. It's tough. We need to support each other. And if you go out to work outside the home, we need to support that too. So I think great contribution from you, Kelly. Sorry, Christine, I couldn't get to you. And Vilma, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to get to you in Dallas, Texas. Maybe you can join the event that's coming up this Saturday. Okay, you guys, so that'll do it. Thank you. Father Alex Kreidler will be with us tomorrow on that pre-recorded broadcast. And until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We ask Saint Athanasia, please pray for us. See you real soon, you guys.